Now, last week, we began to look at angels in the Bible, and angels, we're going to relate more this week in Bible prophecy. And what we noticed so far by way of review is we just kind of basically looked at the origin of the angels in the past. They are distinct from mankind. Please understand that. We smile at the comics of great-grandma and great-grandpa in heaven, or mom and dad in heaven, or whatever, or little ones in heaven, and they're angels looking down upon us. But that's not biblical. No one ever becomes an angel. Angels were created before the world, and they were created distinct from humanity. They are fixed in number. They do not procreate. There's not more angels. As we look into the Bible, angels are male. And so they are not a race. They are a distinct aspect. And so no angels becoming. Nobody becomes an angel. Their identity throughout time, we notice that there are two basic types of angels. There are fallen angels, which would be the demons, the evil angels, Satan and his angels. There are then the unfallen angels, the good angels, the elect angels, those who stayed faithful to God. And as we study through the scriptures, they had a choice, just as mankind has a choice in this life. Will I accept Jesus Christ as Savior? If I do, that sets my destiny for eternity. Or no, I'm not going to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And if we die in that rebellion, that sets our destiny for eternity. So with the angels, those who chose to follow Satan are his angels for eternity. There is no redemption. There is no salvation for fallen angels. They made their choice. And those who stayed faithful to God made their choice. And God has now put them and more or less confirmed them in this unfallen state, and they will not fall. We don't have to worry about there being another rebellion in heaven. And so there are the fallen and the unfallen angels. We also then notice that also there are distinguished by categories. There are just angels in general. Angel means messenger. And then of the angels, there appear to be some which are called cherubim, the plural of cherub. And again, how artists have changed the way many people think. When they think of cherubs, they think of these cute little babies floating around with wings. Nothing could be further from the truth. They are magnificent creations. Awe-inspiring, scary creations with four faces, the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an eagle, the face of an ox. We also see there are seraphim, a different type of distinguishing type of angel. In the book of Revelation, there are living creatures that appear to be different from the cherubim and the seraphim. We also know that, speaking of the unfallen angels, the elect angels, and we're kind of restricting this study to the elect angels. Lord willing, next week we're going to begin to look at, or we'll look at demons, or the fallen angels, and Bible prophecy. This week we're focusing on the unfallen. And among the unfallen, two are distinguished by name. Michael, the archangel, the warrior angel, and Gabriel, whom we find as a messenger angel. And then we notice their occupation at present. In heaven, today, they worship God. And then, as far as the earth, and ministry toward mankind, Christians, they protect, they observe, and they minister to God's people. Now that brings us to what we're wanting to look at today, which is their role in Bible prophecy. You see, angels are very much involved in the future, in what's going to happen in the future. We notice that they were known by the prophets. Isaiah spoke of the seraphim. Ezekiel saw the cherubim. In the book of Zechariah, we find in chapters 1 through 6 that angels come and Zechariah has these visions, and the angels are interpreting and helping him to understand these visions of what's going on in the future. We then also notice that they are active in the book of Daniel. We could spend a lot of time there, but we're just going to survey that. In chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is so full of pride. And he has this dream. And in this dream, he sees this magnificent tree, and there's what's called the watchers, who are angels. And these watchers basically a decree to break his pride and show that God is the one who's in control. The tree will be cut down and will fall. And then Daniel's called in to interpret what's going on. And he interprets it to Nebuchadnezzar that it's the decree of heaven that Nebuchadnezzar is going to lose his mind for the space of probably a number of years. And then God will grant him his sanity back. And this is exactly what happens. And Nebuchadnezzar praises the God of heaven, that God is in control. But it's interesting that the angels have a role in this. As we go on through the book of Daniel, we find that they're very much involved in the visions of Daniel. We find Gabriel when Daniel is praying, and he comes to Daniel and gives him that vision of the 70 weeks or the 77s, the 490 years of Daniel, seven of which are yet to be completed in the tribulation period. And that's by the hand of an angel. And then in the rest of the book of Daniel, when he's having more visions, another angel comes and explains and is revealing things to him and helping him understand the visions. And we find even in the last chapter, basically, that Michael, the archangel, is the special relationship with the people of Israel and will stand up in the last days to help protect Israel during the time of the tribulation period. We then go on to the Gospels, and we find they're spoken of by Christ in prophecy. It's interesting, we won't really go into it, but even when Jesus ascended into heaven, remember, two men in white stood there, which we believe to be angels, saying, "This same Jesus, which was taken up from you, will come in like manner as you saw him go. Visibly, physically, Jesus will return to this earth." But let's also notice what Jesus himself said about angels and the future. In Matthew chapter 13, which we read for our scripture reading, drop down, please, and focus with me at verse 41, Matthew 13, 41. Jesus, interpreting this parable, says, "The Son of Man will send out his angels," speaking of the last days, "and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and they will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." He gives this parable. And in this parable, Jesus says, a sower went out to sow, and that sower was Jesus himself. And he sows the seed, which is the gospel here. And those that grow up, the ones are the sons of righteousness. That's the wheat. But tares come up. Now, a tare is a weed. And they tell me that this weed, the tare, as it's growing up, looks exactly like the wheat. It's really hard to tell the difference. And so in the parable, the servants are like, "Didn't you sow good seed?" "Yes, but an enemy," which was the devil, "came and sowed bad seed," the tares. And they're growing up alongside the wheat. And the servants are like, "Do you want us to go out and try to remove them out of the crop?" He says, "No, lest when you're trying to pull up the false, you also get a hold of some of the good." In this age, there are those who are Christians and are those who might look like Christians, but they're not. They've never accepted Christ as Savior. And there can be churches full of those and people who say that we're Christian but are not. And we're not to be going out and trying to pull that out per se. I mean, there is such a thing as church discipline and things of this nature too. And we know when someone's teaching false doctrine. But God is the one who knows the heart. He says, leave it alone. At the end of what we know would be the tribulation period, God will take care of it, and he'll send his angels to gather the wicked and to cast the wicked into hell. Now, interestingly, parallel with that, turn with me from Matthew chapter 13. You see the angels' ministry there at the wicked. And go to Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 24, go to verse 31. Matter of fact, go to verse 30. Let's get the context. Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. Then, speaking about at the end of the tribulation, verse 29, verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's not the rapture. That's clearly it says, verse number 29, immediately following the tribulation, that's when Christ returns to this earth. This is what's going to happen. Verse 31, and he will send out his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now we know that at the end he's going to gather the unsaved for judgment, but he's also going to gather the elect. Now we have to pause here for a second because people can become confused. Elect means those that God has saved, his elect people. But in this age, which we live now, his elect are the Christians. But the elect also speaks in the Bible about the nation of Israel and those who are redeemed of Israel. And specifically here, he's referring to Israel. At the end of the tribulation, God is going to gather Israel from where they are scattered throughout all the world and bring them back to the land. Now, the angels are going to be involved in doing this. Now, they may also be involved in bringing the saved together as well, but we could say at least as far, you know, saved Gentiles, but at least the saved Jews are going to be brought back to the land. Now, turn over one chapter, chapter 25. Again, look at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory. Again, that's referring to the end of the tribulation period when Jesus comes back to this earth in his glory. Battle of Armageddon, destruction of his enemies. Notice this. When he comes back in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on his throne, the throne of his glory. When Jesus returns, we know from the book of Revelation, we're coming with him. We're following on those white horses with Jesus. But also Jesus says when he comes in his glory, the angels are coming with him. And so we begin to get an idea of the angels' ministry in prophecy. And so we find here that they are spoken of. Get this. Now, we're going to take kind of a whirlwind tour through the book of Revelation. So turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1, because we find out that angels are not just active in the book of Daniel, they are very active in the book of Revelation. You take the angels out of the book of Revelation, you're going to have a bunch of trouble trying to figure anything out. Revelation, chapter 1, verse number 1, we find to begin with the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And notice this. And he sent and signified it by his what? Angel, his messenger, his angel to his servant John. Throughout the book of Revelation, John is having visions, and this one angel in particular, and he's going to have others, but this one angel in particular is going to be with him, helping him to see and understand what's going on. We find him in chapter 1, we find him in chapter 19, we find this angel in chapter 22, being with John and explaining things to John. Now, go from chapter 1 over to chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. We find, prophetically, that there are angels surrounding the throne of God and worshiping him. Chapter 3, verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, his Father's throne, and before his angels. The angels are around the throne of God. And those who know Christ as Savior, now, in the tribulation period, even in the kingdom, God, Jesus will confess our names before the angels. They confess me, they know me, I know them. Go over to chapter 5. We're going to do a little bit of jumping, but chapter 5, verse number 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders that would be believers. And the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands surrounding the throne and worshiping. We'll also see that in chapter 7, verse 11, chapter 14, verse 10. Now, go back one chapter previous to chapter 4 of the book of Revelation. Go to verse number 6. Before the throne, there were a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne, four living creatures. We mentioned them last week. Full of eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. The fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures each had six wings full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest day or night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." These special angels, these living creatures, are worshiping before the throne. Now, go with me. We'll see them in chapter 5. We'll see them in chapter 6. We'll see them in chapter 7. We'll see them in chapter 14. But I want you to go with me all the way back, and we're going to kind of flip around, but go all the way back to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation 15, and drop down to verse 7. Today we're going to be doing some Bible drill. You're going to be flipping a little bit. Revelation 15, 7. Then one of the four living creatures came to the seven angels, gave to the seven angels, here, golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. Not only do they praise God, one of these living creatures are going to, since we're going to see in the a little bit more, are going to bring some of the judgments and be involved in the judgments that are going to fall upon this earth. So they're all this involvement. Now, go to chapter 5, verse number 2. Chapter 5, verse 2. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" Now, we've spoken before, we won't go into detail, but in heaven, John sees the Father upon the throne. And there's a seven-sealed book. And a search is made. And this angel proclaims, "Who is worthy to open the scroll?" And no one is found worthy in heaven, on earth, under the earth, until one like a lamb that was slain, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lion and the lamb, comes and takes and opens the seals. And we believe this to be the title deed to planet earth. The sun is going to reclaim the planet as his own. But an angel is the one that cries out, "Who is worthy to open it?" Now, go with me to chapter 6. Verse number 1. The Lamb begins to open the book. "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and one of the four living creatures," we told you the four living creatures are involved in this, "cries out with a voice like thunder saying, 'Come and see.' And the first white horse of judgment comes out." Go number to verse number 3. "And he opened the second seal, and the second living creature said, 'Come and see.' The next horse comes out of war." Go down to verse number 5. "He opened the third seal, and the third living creature said, 'Come and see.' And a black horse comes out of famine." Drop down to verse 7. "He opened the fourth seal, and the voice of the fourth living creature said, 'Come and see.' And a pale horse of death comes out." These angels are involved prophetically in these judgments. We could go on, but let's just go over to chapter 7. Go to chapter 7, verse number 1, verses 1 and 2. "After these things, I saw four angels." Now there's four angels. standing at the four corners of the earth. Now, that does not mean the Bible believes the earth is flat or that it's a square. We still today speak of the four ends of the earth, okay? It's speaking in that aspect. The idea, it's just a common figure of speech from all the world. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth or the sea or on any tree. We find here angels controlling the winds. Going on, verse 2. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was granted to harm the earth and the sea, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. So angels are going to be involved in the judgments with these four winds, but before that part of the judgment, another angel is going to be involved in sealing the 144,000 Jewish evangelists who will spread throughout the earth and will win multitudes to Jesus Christ. And they're sealed for their protection during this time of judgment. And an angel does it. Go over to chapter 8, verse number 2. Verse 1, Jesus opens the seventh seal. Verse 2, I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. We know, and we go to the book of Revelation, there are seven, what, seal judgments? Then there's seven trumpet judgments. Then there's seven bowl judgments, or as the King James says, vial judgments. The angels are involved in all of this. Verse number 3. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given incense, that he should offer it with it the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, threw it to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and judgments. Now, personally, I believe this is the midpoint of the tribulation. I believe the seven seals are at the first half. The seven trumpets are going to begin the second half. And a judgment, an angel of judgment is throwing here this fire to the earth, mixed with the prayers of the saints, praying that God will reclaim the earth, praying that God will judge evil to the earth. And now notice what's going to happen. The angels are going to begin to sound those judgments. Verse number 7, the first angel sounded, and we have a judgment. Verse number 8, the second angel sounded, you have another judgment. Verse number 10, the third angel sounded, you have a judgment. Verse 12, the fourth angel sounded, you have a judgment. Chapter 9, verse 1, the fifth angel sounded, you have a judgment. Chapter 9, verse 13, the sixth angel sounded, and you have a judgment. All of these aspects, the blowing of the trumpets, are at the signal of an angel. And you'll find that again is going to happen when it's the seventh angel sounds as well. Now, while this is going on, notice chapter 8, verse number 13. And I looked and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe! Woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels about the sound." He warns of three more judgments. Go to chapter 10, verse number 1. And I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was about his head, and his face like the sun, and his feet pillars of fire. And we find here he has a little book in his hand, and he comes to this earth, and basically he stands on the earth and on the sea, and just as a conqueror would come, and let's say you got off a ship like Columbus or someone like that, and he stood there and he claims this land for the king of England or the king of Spain or whatever. He's there claiming the land for Jesus Christ, who's coming back again soon. Go with me, please, to chapter 12, verse number 7. And war broke out in heaven. Again, this is the midpoint of the tribulation. And notice, Michael and his angels. Michael's the archangel. Michael's the warrior angel. He and his angels fought with the dragon, that's Satan, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And we see that there's to the earth, and they're saying woe to the earth because the angel of the fallen angel, Satan, and his fallen angels have come down and will torment the earth for the last 3.5 years. The angels here were involved. There's war. And Satan is cast out of heaven. Chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Here we have them warning, more judgment is coming, proclaiming they need to trust in God. Chapter 14, verse 8. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. An angel proclaiming the soon fall of the city of Babylon. Verse 9, and a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now at this time, when the mark of the beast is so prevalent and people are saying, we either have to take the mark or starve. We follow this world leader or not. They're being warned, don't take the mark. Don't take the mark. You have eternal consequences. And an angel warns of that. Go down to verse 15 of the same chapter. 14:15, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat in the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you, speaking of Christ, to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe, calling on Jesus to come and reap the earth, which will be the battle of Armageddon. And then even in verse number 17, another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, having a sharp sickle, not Christ, but another angel, or an angel of a sharp sickle. Verse 18, and another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vines of the earth, and her grapes are fully ripe. Verse 19, so the angel thrust in his sickle to the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Then you have verse 20, and the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. The Battle of Armageddon. So Jesus is called by one of the angels, it's time for you to reap. Another angel comes out with a sickle, yet another angel tells that angel the sickle to gather the armies of the nations of the world to the Valley of Armageddon, and their Christ will destroy them. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is completed. And so we find out that these angels have these seven bowls, and in chapters 15 and 16, they pour them out upon the earth. It's interesting, in verse number 5 of chapter 16, we find something interesting here. 16:5. And I heard the angel of waters saying, There seems to be an angel that's actually given dominion over the waters, probably normally to protect and take care of the waters. But at this time, another angel is pouring out judgment, and the waters will be turned to blood. And this angel says, who normally protects the waters, Lord, you're righteous to bring this judgment, because they've rejected you and shed the blood of your people. And now you're giving them blood to drink. For sake of time, let me just mention a few more. Chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, an angel came proclaiming Babylon's doom. In chapter 18, verse 21, a mighty angel then takes a millstone and throws it into the sea, declaring, just as it sinks into the sea, so Babylon will fall, never to rise again. Chapter 19, verse 17. Matter of fact, go to chapter 19, verse number 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. An angel will call the vultures and the hawks and all the other carrion birds, the remains after the Battle of Armageddon. An angel's involved in that. Chapter 20. Verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations of the world no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these 1,000 years, he must be released for a little time. We find out that after the tribulation, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years and cast into the abyss. And a mighty angel will do that at the Lord's command. And then in chapter 21, let's look a little into the eternal state. Verse number 12. Speaking of the city of New Jerusalem, also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. Even throughout eternity, when you see these massive gates, an angel will stand at each of the gates. You'll find angels all through the book of Revelation. I'm going to have you're in chapter 21, go back towards the beginning, just a couple chapters. Chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. I told you that one angel is with John throughout the book of Revelation, helping him to understand and revealing these things, God's angel. Go with me, chapter 19, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness, or the righteous acts of the saints. Then he, speaking of that angel, said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Verse number 10 calls our attention. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. John is overcome with everything he's been seeing and what he's been hearing. And this angel's been showing him, and he actually falls at the feet of the angel as if to worship. And the angel says, You don't worship me. Never do that. Only worship God. As we finish this study and we've seen all these angels in prophecy, maybe you're wondering, what's the destiny of angels? Now they are God's messengers. They serve and they help us. What are they going to be doing throughout eternity? What's going to be going on? Well, we notice two things in their destiny of the future. First of all, they're destined to spend eternity with us in the new city of Jerusalem, along with the redeemed. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven." Angels are going to be with us throughout eternity. And can you imagine maybe being and meeting some of the angels, some of those? You're going to meet Gabriel, you're going to meet Michael, you're going to meet all these different angels that have been involved in the Bible, been involved in prophecy, and maybe the angels that have kept us safe and protected us under God's hand in these times. But also we notice their destiny. They are destined to learn throughout eternity of God's grace. It's exhibited by God's redeemed. Specifically, we think of the church. Now, back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, it says that the angels would like to look into our salvation. It amazes them how God works in us and God saves us, and they want to look into that matter of salvation. And then we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, these words. Speaking of the future. "But God, which is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Who's he showing it to? The angels. The angels are going to see us throughout all of eternity, and they're going to say, "What grace! What grace! We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve to sit with Christ in the heavenlies. We don't deserve to share all the glories of Christ, but he's given to us because we deserve it. No. By grace, we're saved." And the angels throughout eternity will see us as that crown jewel of God's grace. Therefore, the last 2 weeks, we have discovered that angels are reality. They're not just a figure of speech. They're real. They worship and serve God. They minister to God's earthly children. They're going to be very active in future events. But they're not to be prayed to. They're certainly not to be worshipped. Rather, they learn of God's grace by watching fallen humanity as Jesus saves us and works in our lives. Let me ask a question as we close. What are angels learning from watching us each day? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And we don't normally stop and think about it, but angels are all around us. Different dimensional aspect, but they're invisible. They see us. They surround us. I'm sure they're even here this very day. And maybe we need to pause and say, what are they seeing in our lives? Are they seeing us glorify Christ? Are they seeing God's grace in our lives? May we live closer and closer. Oh, and even closer to Jesus. And may we magnify him by what we say, by what we do, may what we think and desire. We pray this to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.